Good morning. You got a big show on the radio. Coming up, the easiest way for you to join the winners on the current events quiz. Want you to hang on. But first, we want you to do like we do. Talk to your representative. And we're pleased to have our representative, Ms. Sue Myrick, on the line right now. Sue, good morning.
Well, good morning. How are you?
We are very good. Thank you for checking in with us.
Well, I thought I'd just give you a little bit of an update. But first, I wanted to ask about Rayford's ride. How did he survive?
You know, Sue, unbelievable. He made it through again. That old rascal.
I tell you, I always hate I don't get a chance to listen to you because I'm usually doing stuff on the floor. But I wondered about it, and I'm so glad he still does that. That's really encouraging.
Yes,
yeah, he's something. He is something. All righty. Well, Sue, with the energy debate gearing up, I was hoping maybe to get a take from you, what it really means for the people. If you guys got better alternatives, you like it, you don't like it, just kind of explain to us a little bit what's going on.
Well, yeah, I'll be glad to. We, passed it out of committee, and now there are 8 other committees, fortunately, that get to deal with it.
Oh,
can you imagine?
Man, golly.
But the thing is, there are some good things in there because I totally support dealing with our energy problems. But one of the biggest challenges we have is if you want carbon-free emissions energy, nuclear is at the top of the list.
Yeah, and they always want to talk about, we need to be more like Europe on, this and that. And they don't talk about France, where 75% of their power comes from nuclear plants.
Exactly. And Japan's the same way. But in this bill, they won't consider nuclear as a part of it, which is a little frustrating. And, of course, this is kind of regionally divided, but in the Southeast, we get so much of our power from nuclear.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get penalized in this bill because it won't count toward what we're doing to change. We're doing wind and solar and other things that are part of the bill, but we can't meet the deadlines fast enough. They put such strict deadlines on that it's going to make it hard for a lot of people around the country to do that. And so what it means is that we're going to see as consumers in our part of the country, the Midwest and other parts of the country, some pretty good hikes in our energy bills as a consumer.
And not just us, though. Really, it's everybody, right? Because, the president has even come out and said publicly, some of the things we do are going to make your energy prices skyrocket. I'm like, what the heck?
Well, they will. There's a total of $642 billion in new taxes in this bill, which nobody wants to talk about.
Oh, man.
And the other thing that bothers me is, they're doing the cap and trade, which very simply means that, if you're an energy company and you're producing over the limit of what you're supposed to be producing in emissions, then you can buy credits from other companies or other businesses or whatever, in other words, to make up and keep you at a level playing field. I mean, it's very complicated, but what it amounts to is they're going to set up a trading on a futures market.
Yeah.
And what bothers me about that, where you'll trade carbon futures, which is kind of like, is it really there?
Mm.
It concerns me because, a lot of the problems we had with our economy was due to the futures market, all the trading in oil, and you remember how that drove everything up and caused problems. So here we are going back to another, literally putting a market in there that's ripe for corruption, in my opinion. And so that bothers me a lot about the bill. They also say they want to create jobs, and you do nuclear. Nuclear, literally, building a plant employs about 2,000 people, and it takes about 800 to run it.
Mm.
I mean, that's a lot of people. And if you consider doing that all across the country, it would really put a lot of jobs out there. So, as I say, there's 8 committees on the House side going to deal with it. So I think it's going to be tied up a long time. And then the thing we just learned yesterday was that health care is going to be on the table, supposedly a bill on the floor of the House before the end of July. And this is a major overhaul in what happens with health care. We need to do it. Don't get me wrong. I support, making changes so it's affordable for people. But I don't support the government getting involved in what they're calling a public option. But it's really government going into competition with private insurance companies and having a government option for people to choose from. My concern with that is that people who, employers in particular, will just dump their insurance and put people on the public system, right, then you and I are going to be paying for it.
So eventually the government-sponsored option becomes the only real option available.
Exactly. That's exactly what's happened. And, you know, there are some good things that have been, like, people need to look at Switzerland, because Switzerland's one of the few countries that does have government-type health care, but it's done through private insurance companies, you know, and it's done differently. So there are options that we can look at and keep the private market involved, you know, to force down the cost. But I hope that, you know, you'll really communicate to your listeners that they need to be in contact with their representatives and their senators, because these are major, major changes in their life coming down the pike. And you know, just talking about energy and health care alone, and then, you know, we haven't even hit on the fact that, you know, we now have government motors.
Yeah.
So, you know, you are now a proud owner of General Motors.
Is there anything, Sue, that he's doing that we're not going to be paying for?
Well, right now, no, because we're looking at the deficits for this year are $1.8 trillion, and they're over $1 trillion as far as the eye can see, literally. So, I mean, we don't know where the money's going to come from to pay for all this. That's the frightening part.
Shouldn't they have thought about that before?
Well, yeah, but, you know, that wasn't a consideration, and that's what's so disturbing. And, you know, the only way they can get it is for other countries to buy our debt. And, you know, China's backing off. They're pretty concerned about buying our debt anymore. They were our main, you know, debtor.
Yeah, I had a story when Geithner was over there and said, Chinese financial assets are very safe. His response drew laughter from the audience.
Right, yeah.
That's not a good sign.
That was funny.
No, it's not
at all.
It's not a good sign. I mean, it really is. It's very concerning to us because, you know, the only other place they have to go for money is you and me. And we're right now, as of today, borrowing 46 cents of every dollar we're spending this year as a federal government. And at the end of April, I think it was April 26th, that was the day the government literally stopped making money, and from now on, we're living on borrowed money for the rest of the year.
So early in the week, we were talking about General Motors and the impact that will have on jobs in the Midwest, et cetera. You've experienced it already with the textile mills down here. Nobody bailed them out, right?
No, exactly. The textile mills did what they needed to do to reform, and I guess that's the one thing that bothers me. I mean, you know, I want to keep manufacturing in this country, believe me. Mm-hmm. I'm a big supporter of manufacturing because we can't continue to just, you know, not produce anything and consume stuff. But, you know, the textile industry did take care of trying to, as best they could, working against the trade laws, you know, revise their plants and all that. Mm-hmm. But General Motors would not do that. I mean, you know, look how long they sat there and would not do anything to change. And that's the problem. And a lot of us wanted to put them in bankruptcy months ago when all this first started. And they said, oh, no, we can't do that. Well, now here we're spending another $50 billion on
and
top of the $20
billion. And
we're in
the same position we would have been to start with.
Right.
Yeah.
Except,
you know,
we're out $50 billion, yeah.
And those are the things that are hard for people like me to understand, and I know a lot of people at home. And the only other thing I did want to mention to you was, you know, immigration in a lot of parts of the country, illegal immigration is still a big concern. Because of, you know, jobs and because of safety with people coming over our border. Mm-hmm. And we just learned yesterday again that there's going to be a big push now to get an immigration, comprehensive immigration reform bill on the floor by the end of the year.
See, here's the thing that bothers me about how things are being done in Washington right now is everything is getting a real bum's rush. It's like they're voting on something before you've even heard anything about it in the news.
Well, the thing that's even more disturbing is that, you know, and again, I'm not a partisan person. You know me from years back.
Yes,
I'm not
ma'am.
Partisan. I work with, you know, every bill I sponsor is with Democrats. I have a lot of Democrat friends. I happen to be a Republican. But the sad part is, like on the energy bill, there was absolutely no Republican input on that bill. It was strictly all written by White House and the Democrats. And you know, the same thing is now happening on the health care bill. So we're very encouraged that we hope the president is going to say, hey, we need to have an open forum on the health care bill.
Good luck with that.
Well, you know, I'm the eternal optimist, so I hope so. But those are the things that are concerning because, you know, a lot of the country, literally, their voice isn't being heard.
Mm. All right. And this is y'all's chance. Y'all listening right now, find your representative, congressman, call them and tell them.
Yep. Let them know what you think. I mean, really, just that. Because if they don't hear from you, they think everything's okay.
Right.
And you need to you have a voice, and it's very important that you use that voice. Don't ever think it doesn't count, because it does.
All right, Sue. Well, thanks for taking time with us this morning. Keep up the good fight.
Thanks. It's always good to talk with y'all. You keep it up, too.
All right. Hope to hug you next soon.
I hope so, too.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Sue, Mark, I represent it. I'm serious. I hug an ass.
Be optimistic in one hand and crap in the other and see which one you feel first.
Pillars, will you call some of our representatives for us?
I have. I've been sending emails. I send an email every single day.
Attaboy.
To that chinless lion, Chris Dodd. One word, liar.
All right.
And I send an email every day to Nancy Pelosi's office, one word, coward.
Yeah, whatever happened to that? She just wanted to quit talking about saying the CIA lied to her, so the press, of course, they're in the pocket. Okay, we won't ask you no more.
Lying. After Senator Graham came out with his notes about how the CIA was wrong when they met with him, they've taken it off the table. She didn't take it off the table. The CIA took it off the table, just for the record.
Baloney.
Hanson. Just for the record.
Are you done?
It's Morris.
Baloney.
All right.
Nancy Pelosi can't open her mouth without lying through them big store-bought teeth of hers.
Did you see the one she brought in there, her last press conference, where they were all huddled around her? One of them tried to pull her away from the microphone when she was asked about it. Yeah, she looks innocent.
All you got to do, if anybody's seen Wizard of Oz, all you got to do is throw a bucket of water on her. We ain't got no more problems.
All right. Well, let's make somebody happy one at a time. And it right.